This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bill Roscio, my colleague and co-host of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. He's a senior fellow. Keeps the Long War Journal, where you can regularly see reporting by our guest, David Daoud, watching the Southern Front, Gaza, the Northern Front, Hezbollah, and Lebanon. We go immediately to the Northern Front. This show marches to the sound of bombs. IDF strikes Hezbollah rocket launch sites, Times of Israel headline. Weapons depots also in South Lebanon, in the Bekaa Valley. David, a very good evening to you. Last week in conversations, several conversations in different directions, including with people who have got a fresh eyes for me on the threat of the war erupting again in Gaza. Routinely, it was mentioned that Hezbollah is rearming. You have been following that story for weeks, if not months. Hezbollah was decapitated and pretty much backed away from the final round of fighting in Gaza. And without adequate inspirational leadership, the presumption was that it was ruthless and drifting around looking for purpose. Now we have reason to believe that Hezbollah is rearming, I've been told, and that the IDF is more than a little concerned. Are the watch towers that the IDF has maintained for the last year, are they adequate or something else needs to be done given the rearming? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, of course, Hezbollah is rearming. I think it was obvious from the outset. A colleague of mine and I, Ahmed Sharawi, the day the ceasefire went into effect, we wrote a piece saying that it set up the terms of the deal because of the dynamics in Lebanon remaining unchanged, set up both Israel and Lebanon for future war because they did not preclude Hezbollah's rearmament. Hezbollah has been saying it's going to rearm. They've been going about it. There's been every indication that they're rearming. From the ongoing Israeli strikes to interdictions by Syrian authorities of weapons and financial shipments into Lebanon, to, you know, primarily Lebanon's inaction against Hezbollah. Now, to your question of whether the outposts, the posts that the IDF has in South Lebanon will be sufficient, no, in and of themselves, they won't be, because that merely recreates conditions that existed in South Lebanon between Israel and Hezbollah between 1985 and 2000 during the South Lebanon occupation, where the IDF held a security zone that was based on this concept of static defense, meaning the IDF just sat there, used this as a tripwire, and did not actively go and engage Hezbollah. What the IDF is doing differently now, first of all, it's not relying on a local actor like the South Lebanon Army, which, if you ask me, was a terrorist militia, a criminal militia, and good riddance to them. But it's not only an unreliable actor as well, but it's also, more importantly, moving to a position of active defense. It is not waiting for Hezbollah to come to it. It is actively pursuing Hezbollah wherever it's moving. It is setting the rules of the game. It is exploiting its massive conventional superiority of Hezbollah over Hezbollah to set the rules of the game and to ensure that wherever it sees Hezbollah movement, it will target it preemptively. Wherever it sees Hezbollah operatives involved in regeneration efforts or gathering intel, whatever it be, they're going to target them actively. Now, is that a complete stopgap to Hezbollah's regeneration? No, it's a game of cat and mouse. And what Hezbollah has said it's doing is that it's trying to outpace the pace of Israeli strikes when it comes to rearmament. Now, of course, they've said, Naim Qassem said, the current Secretary General, who everyone has discounted. I didn't. I said, do not underestimate this man. He said that they've successfully, it was a couple of months ago, that they've successfully outpaced the pace of Israeli strikes. A couple of weeks, the Israelis have now intensified their strikes, both qualitatively and quantitatively. So we'll see again in this game of cat and mouse, this race really of cat and mouse, who's going to win.
Bill, you have a question for David.
David, some of the strikes took place in the Bekaa Valley, which in my understanding is beyond that southern zone below the Litani River. Are the Israelis going to strike at Hezbollah beyond that area? Is that part of this defense? I mean, can we see strikes against Hezbollah in the Lebanese capital?
So since the ceasefire has gone into effect, we've seen strikes against Hezbollah assets and personnel in Lebanon. The Bekaa Valley, again, has been targeted several times, including, I think, a couple of weeks ago, there was a strike on a Radwan Force training camp. And the Radwan Force is very much active in the Bekaa Valley. So the way Hezbollah has put it, and this is where you see that Hezbollah is not complying by the terms of the ceasefire at all, and neither is the Lebanese state. The way Hezbollah has interpreted the ceasefire is that everywhere north of the Litani River, the ceasefire doesn't apply, including for disarmament. So they've said from the outset, we are not disarming north of the Litani River. Therefore, of course, you're going to have Israeli strikes, frequent Israeli strikes north of the Litani River, as far north as the Bekaa Valley, including periodically in Beirut. So there's that dynamic. Again, that goes back to the act of defense. We didn't see so much of this in 1985 to 2000, absent there being some kind of escalation between Israel and Hezbollah, like in 1993 or 1996. Now the Israelis are saying there's no place in Lebanon that is off limits for us to strike wherever you're moving. The terms of the ceasefire, of course, apply north of the Litani River. It says disarmament will start south of the Litani River, meaning it will proceed north as well. But now, south of the Litani River, does this mean that Hezbollah is disarming? Absolutely not. So what we see there, where Hezbollah says, oh, no, the ceasefire applies only south of the Litani River, we're seeing targeted killings, strikes, targeted killings of Hezbollah operatives that are involved, not just happen to be there, they're involved in regeneration efforts focused south of the Litani River. Right. So it's not just these operatives are operating south of the Litani River. Their regeneration efforts, their efforts are focused to rebuild Hezbollah's infrastructure, power, presence south of the Litani River, according to the IDF. And there are targets on Hezbollah assets also south of the Litani River. So north and south of the Litani River, we see no Hezbollah compliance for all of Lebanese government's talk about pursuing Hezbollah's assets and infrastructure south of the Litani River. They're saying their disarmament plan, such as it is, we don't know what it is. We don't know about the progress, that it applies only south of the Litani River, or that it's starting south of the Litani River. Well, here's Hezbollah routinely having operatives killed for trying to rebuild infrastructure south of the Litani River. So north, south, the entire country is, the Israelis are saying, so long, wherever Hezbollah operates in Lebanon, there is no place that is off limits. And that is a game changer from 1985 to 2000 and from the situation that existed between 2011 when the Syrian civil war started and 2013 when the Israeli strikes started in Syria and 2023 where Israel allowed Hezbollah to set the rules of the game whereby its activities, its presence, its personnel in Lebanon, its armament in Lebanon was off limits. So now there's nothing off limits to the Israelis. Wherever Hezbollah moves, the Israelis will strike them.
David, follow the money. Is there a new source? Is it old source? Are they being paid?
Of course they are. I mean, we don't know a lot of the sources. Of course, this is a shadowy organization, but you know, look, we like to focus on the criminal elements, the terrorist financing elements. Hezbollah has an economic generation ecosystem in Lebanon. You have organizations that are moving money between. Hezbollah has hospitals, they have schools, they have restaurants, they have pharmacies, they have gas stations. This might be a pittance in the large scheme of things, but look, Hezbollah doesn't require much. A single dollar goes a long way in Lebanon. The organization doesn't require much to make war. Katyusha rockets cost $100 a pop, right? You're not talking about sophisticated weapons. The drones that they need, again, are not expensive. So Hezbollah can maintain its base, the support of its base on the cheap, and it can maintain its arsenal on the cheap. And we see both old sources of funding from outside of Lebanon's borders. There are reports that there are channels of funding that are remaining through Syria. Our colleague Ahmed Shadawi has found companies in Syria today that the new government is just not powerful enough to deal with, that are owned by Hezbollah, that are bringing money to Hezbollah. You have flights coming in from Iraq, from Yemen, from flights through Iran, right? As long as they're not Iranian airliners, from Turkey that are bringing in money. You know, the Houthis had a campaign in 2019 and 2020 to send money to Hezbollah. Now, again, how much money do the Houthis have? Well, what if they take the equivalent of a dollar from a million supporters? That's $1 million. And they can send that over. So if that campaign is ongoing, and our colleague Bridget Toomey is looking into this, whether this campaign is ongoing, different things. They have tons of supporters in West Africa that can send them money through untraceable channels, including Western Union, including MoneyGram. The same applies in Latin America. The same could apply, oh, by the way, to the Shiite communities in the United States, Canada, and Australia, where Hezbollah is proscribed. But if you're sending money through Western Union to an undesignated individual on the other end in Lebanon, who knows where that money is going to? So there are licit and illicit channels of financing, both within Lebanon and transnationally, that Hezbollah can draw upon. It's not just Iranian money, and Hezbollah is drawing upon them. And again, they don't need $1 billion a day. They need just enough to maintain the base, to maintain the needs of their base, keep them quiet, and start the regeneration efforts of their arsenal, which again does not take a lot of money.
David Daoud of FTT, Bill Raggio, my colleague and co-host, we're headed to Gaza and the Board of Peace, the 10-point peace plan.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.